Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor. Here's John Batchelor.
The attack in 22 March on a Moscow theater, hundreds damaged, 140 at least were massacred by what we're told are Tajik shooters who were hired. However, I welcome Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired artilleryman, CBS News, visiting Professor Dickinson College, as well as CEO of Diamond Six Leadership and Strategy, identifying an oddity of this event. It was a tragedy. And yet Vladimir Putin, who leads the Kremlin, has insisted from the first instance, not immediately, but the first instance, that this attack was linked to Ukraine. And I read from Jeff's piece, perhaps linked through Ukraine to the U.S. Jeff, you have in your column identified that the U.S. and its allies gave forewarning to the Russians that there was a possible terrorist plan. ISIS-K, they even named Tajiks at some point, is the new information. And yet Moscow insists that the people who warned them are the people who attacked. Have you seen any credible evidence, or they just keep repeating the big falsehood? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. No, there's no evidence whatsoever that anyone in the West was involved in these particular attacks, though the Russians keep repeating it over and over. And if you follow, and I've looked at the resonance in Russian media, as well as in Russian social media. And obviously this view that the West was behind this, that Ukraine was behind this, is gaining additional traction. Furthermore, in the last couple of days, the Russians have said some of their preliminary investigation, without giving details, has shown additional evidence that Ukraine was involved in these particular attacks. But I hasten to add, there's been no published official evidence to that whatsoever.
Let's go to the Ukraine front. There appears to be a pause in the offensive either by Ukraine or Russia. There is a story that says that Ukraine is outgunned, outarmed, and that Russia is taking this time, buying time, to build up its offensive capabilities, but also its arming. Its defense industry is going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They don't have enough workers right now. And the plan, if I understand correctly from the information, is that Russia's in this for the long term. And I don't mean 5 years. I mean the balance of the century. Does that make sense to you, Jeff, from what you see?
Absolutely, John, without question. I mean, Vladimir Putin has always stylized himself as the next Peter the Great. He is not a communist. This is not recreating the Soviet Union. This is creating the Russian Empire, which is what he's all about. And don't forget, he was the one back in 2004 that said the end of the Soviet Union was the greatest tragedy of the 20th century, despite the fact that over 30 million Russians were killed in World War II. And he has furthermore talked at great length over and over about so-called Ruski Mir, the Russian world, arguing that all Russians, wherever they are, all Russian nationals should live within the confines and borders of the Russian Federation. So if you're a Russian living in a place like Ukraine or in Moldova or perhaps in Poland or in Romania or in the Baltic states or in Georgia or any of those places, you would expect an effort on the part of the Russian state to expand and take in the territory you occupy as part of the Russian Federation, to the point that the Russians have also made this a holy war. The Russian Orthodox Church is steadfastly behind it, and the Patriarch has described it in those particular terms. Consequently, it always struck me as surprising those here in the United States and elsewhere who oppose any type of assistance to Ukraine. I can't understand why they believe if Ukraine were to fall tomorrow into Russian hands, why they believe Mr. Putin would be satisfied.
Josep Borrell is the foreign minister of the European Union speaking. I believe he was in Spain in these last hours. He made it very clear with the metaphor of a ring of fire that Europe is on the edge of what he calls a general war in Europe. that though people doubted it would ever happen again, it's upon them. He used the word looming, and he urged Europe to immediately not only rearm but arm, commit enormous amounts of money and time and industry to defending itself, similar to what we're seeing in Russia, where there's a war economy underway. Jeff, does this sound practicable, that Europe would turn from green technology or domestic concerns, or in some cases like Germany, hostility towards the EU and NATO, turning back to fighting local battles or blocking immigrants? Does it sound like Europe could do that, turn away from all of the domestic concerns and turn towards armament?
It'll be very, very difficult to accomplish, John, without a question. But we do see some signs of European leaders, and that's what this is going to be all about, is leaders convincing their populations of the necessity. And I do think we see some movement in that particular direction. There's been an awful lot of talk, for example, in Europe about selling Russian assets that are held in European banks to assist Ukraine, or at a minimum, providing windfall profits that are being accrued from those Russian frozen accounts to Ukraine. We've seen several small countries do significant things. The Czechs, for example, have now rounded up in the last few weeks 800,000 artillery shells for Ukraine and supposedly found 700,000 more on international markets that they're in the process of acquiring. We've seen Denmark expand and move back to a military draft for both young men and for young women. And we've seen other leaders beyond Mr. Borrell making similar comments about the necessity. President Macron, for example, of France, has said, and I'm quoting now, "There will be no peace in Europe if Ukraine is forced to capitulate." And the Secretary General of NATO, Mr. Stoltenberg, has recently proposed a NATO aid package that would send $100 billion of military aid to Ukraine over the next 5 years.
In conversation with Berlin in these last hours, I worked up what would be an indictment before a grand jury. This would be a jury in heaven or the other place against Vladimir Putin. It begins with Chechnya, Georgia, Armenia, Ukraine, Belarus, and then disinformation attacks along the whole frontier, and then cyber attacks ongoing, and then chemical attacks, the poisoning of people in the United Kingdom. That's Vladimir Putin. That's a predator. That's not a man who is satisfied with a victory. Now, I make the case, and you make the case, is the case getting through to the American people, because they must lead?
So far, it does not seem to be the case, John, and I agree with everything you said, and you also left out individual assassinations. Don't forget Yevgeny Prigozhin, a close ally of Mr. Putin, whose plane suddenly blew up. Don't forget efforts to poison Alexei Navalny with a toxin. Don't forget different other opponents of Mr. Putin who were mysteriously gunned down, one in case on a bridge not far from the Kremlin. So this is gangsterism at its finest. But there has been this movement, and you and I have talked before, John, not dissimilar from what we saw in the 1930s, where the American people turned in a moment of great global turmoil to discussing isolationism, to taking advantage of the oceans that separate us from Europe, to taking advantage of the fact that we have relatively benign allies to our north and south, and talking about devoting our assets solely to improving the life here in the United States and a pox on the house of the rest of the planet. And that is creating great persuasion, particularly in the Republican Party. And that's being played out right now in questions about voting for military assistance, greater military assistance to Ukraine, that being stalled in the House of Representatives. And currently the Speaker of House, Mr. Johnson, has been threatened with losing his job if he even allows that particular military aid package to be voted upon. And as we head towards November, one thing the American people will have, I think, is a very clear-cut choice in the direction the nation moves in terms of foreign national security policy. Clearly, Mr. Trump is for isolationism. Mr. Trump is this motto of make America great again. Dismantling the alliances that I believe have served the United States very well since the Second World War, not only in Europe, but also in Asia. And whereas Mr. Biden is talking a more traditional American national security policy that Democrats and Republicans have embraced ever since the World War II, strengthening the NATO ally. And as we're speaking today, Mr. Biden is meeting in the White House with the Prime Minister of Japan, talking about closer relations between the United States and Japan, as well as other allies across the Indo-Pacific region.
Here's a puzzle about Ukraine front right now. It appears that Russia claims it will be satisfied with Novorossiya, which stretches from about Kharkiv all the way to the Crimea, although technically Novorossiya includes the Odessa Oblast. That's what they claim going into something called a negotiation. That's what they claim. There's no evidence that they're going to stop short of taking Odessa. And my reading of once Russia possesses all of Novorossiya, it's just going to keep going. There's no reason to back off. You mentioned Moldova. We can mention Romania that now believes it's at the front line. The Danube is the one thing between the Odessa Oblast and Romania. That's a NATO ally. We have a contingent of American soldiers at Constanza. You know the area very well. You served in NATO. Now, we're making this argument. We're not being alarmist. I don't believe I'm being alarmist. I'm just looking at geography. Are we going to get to a place where we have to be attacked before we respond, Jeff? Is that your sense of things?
Well, I certainly hope not, John, but everything you described is exactly correct. And even if Mr. Putin, for a moment, seemed to be satisfied with taking Novorossiya, for example, he would want to totally neutralize rump Ukrainian state, which would be not unlike what we see today in Belarus, a country which is largely, in terms of its foreign and national security policy, not independent, but rather dependent on Moscow. And furthermore, were the alliance, NATO alliance, and the United States to fail in its leadership at this particular moment, I think the ultimate objective, Mr. Putin, which has always been the same, has not only been the territorial acquisition of these particular areas, but the end of the NATO alliance. And this might actually serve a fatal blow to the NATO alliance and the United States leadership. And finally, if the Romanians are concerned, imagine for a moment you live in Lithuania, or you live in Latvia, or you live in Estonia, which have large Russian populations, which was actually physically part of the Soviet Union at one time, and what this portends for you.
I'm speaking with Colonel Jeff McCausland, United States Army retired. We've got another pause. We're headed to Gaza. I'm John Batch.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together, because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Get the long-lasting power you need with Energizer. Menards has the largest in-stock selection of Energizer batteries. They provide solid power for flashlights, remotes, and so much more. Right now, save big on Energizer batteries. Plus, check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening this week.
Save big.